is everyone doing? How is everyone's week? We thank God for another week of Hour of Healing. I am your host, Candace. I'm here with Dr. Joe, as usual. So last week, we started on a journey of dynamics of wealth, right? So
correct.
Give the breakdown of everything. And we said this week onward, we're going to dive into it step by step. And so, you know, wherever you are, get ready. Be sure to share it with your loved ones. And let's dive into today's discussion. Today's main theme is going to focus on a wealthy place. That's our topic, a wealthy place. And so, you know, just be ready and let's get right in. Dr. Joe, welcome in.
Thank you so much, Sister Kendall.
So a wealthy place, how did that come about?
Yes, Candace, thank you so much for hosting us. And dear audience, we thank you for joining us again today. You know, as we talked last week about the dynamics of wealth, we established a few principles about the dynamics of wealth. One of the main things we talked about, or the main focus of our discussion last week in laying out the foundation of dynamics of wealth, was to tell you what that was. And that is that no matter where you are in life, no matter what you desire, no matter what your lack is, that wealth, once attained, has the potential and the ability to change your life. And so rather than trying to find means and ways to change your life to have the outcome that you want, focus on the principles that will bring you wealth, because wealth, once it comes, will change your life. And in that, one of the main things that we need to be able to establish is the foundation of what wealth is and what wealth is not. Because until you know what wealth is, how wealth comes about, and the difference between being wealthy, being rich, and being poor, you cannot attain wealth. Because as we defined last week, if you did not know what wealth is and you are enjoying riches, there is nothing wrong with being rich, but you are not wealthy yet. And so if you begin to live your life like a wealthy person, you will soon find that you are broke. And so we hear of athletes who made millions and millions of dollars during their playing careers. Right. When they retire, because they were rich but not wealthy, eventually they become broke and they begin to sell their houses and their stuff, their rings and all these things, because wealth is not riches. There is a difference between riches and wealth. And so a wealthy place really came about as I sought to understand this dynamics or this principle of wealth, Sister Candace. I began to ask myself that, is there a place where this wealth that we all yearn for, is there a place where all these forms of wealth exist? Are they in heaven? Are they on earth? Are they in the spiritual realm? Are they in the physical realm? Are they in my business? Are they in my grandfather's portfolio or whatever it is? Is there a place that wealth resides? And that will be the question that we'll be trying to answer for our audience today. And so that's really the foundation of a wealthy place.
Wow, that's very powerful. And, you know, you hit on a few things that I want us to pick out of and discuss. You mentioned something about there are athletes who had money or who, you know, who made a lot of, they gained a lot of assets in their career or whatever. But then when they retired, you know, they lost a lot, right?
Correct.
They just had money, but then they didn't have wealth, right?
Correct.
So I want us to deduce this to a level where we can all understand and know where we are going. So are we saying that wealth is not money, right? Are we saying wealth is not assets? Are we saying wealth is not somewhat riches? Like when we speak about a wealthy place, what are we really referring to?
So you actually ask two different questions, you know, because a wealthy place is different from the question about wealth and riches. Like I defined last week, that riches really had to do with having a high level of income or a lot of money, which you can exchange for what you need. And then I defined wealth last week as having that financial stability that riches affords you in order for you to be able to maintain a desired outcome. But right. Where the difference is that in wealth, you are not dependent solely on your income. And so wealth also has financial stability that affords you the ability to maintain a desired lifestyle like riches will. But in wealth, you don't rely solely on your income. And so we talked about the fact that assets become something that the wealthy has, but the rich does not necessarily have asset. And so remember the example I gave last week that if you solely rely on your income, and so you are rich, but you're mistaking that for being wealthy, and the economic situation of your country changes, say inflation goes up, prices of taxes, houses, commodities go up, and you still desire to maintain that same level of lifestyle, but your income remains the same, you will go broke because you are not wealthy. The wealthy does not necessarily depend solely on their income. Yes, they still have income, but that's not solely what makes them wealthy. And that is really well explained by the athlete's example, because we have boxers who are also athletes or entertainers who makes millions of dollars. And then once they are no longer fighting and things of that nature, because their riches is different from wealth. Let me put it this way. So the owners of the teams that these athletes are playing for are wealthy because the athletes are their assets. But the athletes are rich. I'm not saying there are no wealthy athletes. No, I mean, there are athletes. Most of these athletes have foundations. They have enterprises, businesses. I mean, I even heard years ago that some of them actually own some of these mobile apps that we use day in and day out. So, yes, they have wealth from that standpoint. But if it comes solely to they are playing and being paid, that makes them rich. That does not make them wealthy. So if we talk about being wealthy, then I would say the owner of that team, whether the football team, the basketball team, or that company that the people are working and the one paying them, the owner of those things paying them, the employees, are wealthy because the employees, though they are rich, are assets for the owner. And so that's really the easiest way I can explain the difference between the rich and the wealthy. Yes, there are people who are really, really rich, but yes, still, they are not wealthy. The other thing that you asked was about wealth and money, right? And so with this, you will understand what we mean when we say being wealthy is not necessarily about money. Yes, money plays a major role in being wealthy. Why? Because we live in a money-driven economy. And so if you bypass money, you will not be wealthy. But if money is all there is to your wealth, then I'm sorry, but you are not truly enjoying wealth yet.
Wow, that's very interesting because, you know, I've heard people say stuff like, I may not have money, but I'm wealthy. You know, I'm wealthy because I have peace, I have joy, I have this, I have that, so I'm wealthy. But I don't have money, right? But you are saying here that if you cannot bypass money and be wealthy. So can you clarify there, like, why would a person who is supposedly poor or middle class, they don't have enough money to, you know, claim the status of rich or wealth in somebody else's definition. But then, you know, to come to our definition here, the person is claiming to themselves that they are wealthy or they may be in a wealthy place. We'll get there because we're talking about wealthy. We'll find out what it's really about or where this place is. But to a different person, this is their statement that I am wealthy. I don't have money or riches, but I'm wealthy. So what is going through such a person's mind to be able to make such a statement, even in their financial poverty?
Yes, that's actually a great question. And it will be more clear when we talk about the types of wealth next week. But the main foundation that I find when people are making such statements is they are talking about the types of wealth. They are not necessarily talking about wealth as a holistic thing. And so when we talk about the types of wealth, I think I alluded to it last week, that there are various modules of wealth and there are various types. And so one can be walking in high levels of financial wealth, but yet their health is very, very poor. And so in such an instance, that person can say, I am financially wealthy. And there is nothing wrong with that. They are not wrong. But the truth is, in health, they are poor. And so when people say that, they are not necessarily wrong, but they are not fully complete in defining wealth. And so you can say, yes, I am wealthy because I have peace, I have joy, I have a good marriage, I have a good home, I have a good husband.
That may be an emotional aspect.
Yes. And so what I find is that they are limiting their definition of wealth to one specific thing. That really, Sister Candace, is one of the things that we want to correct. Remember last week I said in a wealthy place, we'll be correcting a lot of things, a lot of misconceptions, because there are people who walk in one dimension of wealth. And because they are enjoying a certain dimension of wealth, they tend to ignore the others. For example, what we just talked about, some people are working in financial wealth, but when it comes to physical wealth, they are poor. And what you find is that eventually, because you are so deficient in one area, you will spend the wealth that you have in the finances to try to cater for the physical wealth. And so by the end of the day, you will end up probably being rich and not wealthy. Because you are spending all that you have in the financial world to take care of your physical wealth. And so it's very important that we work our way to knowing or having some understanding about what a holistic picture of wealth is, and then working our way towards the places that we are deficient. And so if you are financially rich in our example, then working your way to eating healthier, doing the necessary things to maintain a physical health that will lead you into wealth in your body, that also becomes necessary, all right? So that is one of the main things that I wanted to bring about. The other thing I wanted to talk about before I hand it over to you for you to say your piece, Sister Candace, is to clarify this notion that sometimes we hear in the churches or in the body of believers that God created some to be poor and some to be rich.
That's new.
We all have some level of need, which we can say we are poor. Some will be intellectually, some will be emotional, some will be financial. But in the eyes of God, we all have a need, which to him is poverty. Because remember, he owns everything. So now, whether you are rich or poor, it does not really change your standing before God as his child. Whether you are rich or poor, you are a child of God. As long as you believe in Jesus, you are a child of God. But there is something that is very interesting. I want to put a few Bible quotations out there. In Proverbs 22 verse 2, he says that the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. It does not say the Lord made them so, but the Lord made them all. Which means whether you are rich or poor, God did not make you that way. He did not make some to be rich. He did not make some to be poor. And The reason why I say this with confidence, Sister Candace, is because in the same Proverbs 22, when you read the verse 7, it talks about the fact that the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. And God did not make anyone to be slave to the other. He created man to have dominion. And so that leads us to what I said last week, that no matter where you are, you don't stay there forever. Because once you realize that you were created to have dominion, automatically that should help you understand that there are principles and there are laws that you can engage to have dominion. And dominion is riches and wealth. If you don't have that, you will serve the one who is wealthy and the one who is rich. You will become slave to them.
Yeah, but Dr. Joe, everything that you're saying is so right on. I'm gonna, you know, I just want to make this quick thing. I feel like it's our, how do I even put, it's we lack understanding about some things, right? And so it leads us into making conclusions that doesn't serve us well, right?
Correct.
And so we, in our understanding, we have limited ourselves, right? We have placed limitations on ourselves. And so we don't, because when I was listening to, I was just thinking to myself, is it possible to really acquire wealth holistically, right? Because, you know, you mentioned someone may be wealthy financially or wealthy emotionally, whatever the case may be. When we get to the types of wealth, we'll talk about it. But then health-wise, they are poor, right? But then we have limited, I feel like we have placed that limitation on ourselves to not expand ourselves to be able to have that holistic wealth or pursue it, I should say, right? So it's an unrealistic reality to us because of the limitations that we have put up.
Yeah, and that is actually very, very true, Sister Candace, and a great observation, because when it comes to wealth, there are so many misconceptions, and sometimes these misconceptions, Sister Candace, are not birthed out of lack of understanding, but really they are birthed out of fear. Because let's take the Christian brother or sister, for instance, right, who wants to walk with God genuinely, and seeing what we call, quote unquote, prosperity preachers and prosperity gospel, and what some of these leaders or these carriers of these messages do with their wealth. And so some people fear that if they should become wealthy, it will lead to pride, it will lead to their arrogance and things of that nature. But the truth of the matter is, the wealthiest entity we have ever known in all creation is the most humblest, and that is God. He walks on street of gold, for crying out loud.
No, he's poor.
But yet, when we study the nature of God through his son, Christ Jesus, who is the most accurate reflection or representation of God that we know, and also through the fruits of his spirit, whom he sent by Jesus to us, we see that he is humble, he is gentle, yet he is the richest entity we've ever known. And so carrying that mindset that riches bring with it pride is wrong, from the standpoint that that idea came from what we saw people do. It doesn't matter if they are men of God, if they are women of God, if they are antichrist. It's just a conception that we brought up because of what we saw people who are walking in those dimensions do. And that does not make it accurate. All right? And so it's a misconception. And then the issue of walking in wealth in all its dimensions, right? Once we understand wealth and realize what wealth can do or what wealth can be, then Sister Candace, we are able to exert ourselves to walk in the various dimensions of wealth. And so one of the reasons why I keep hammering this notion of riches and wealth, holistic wealth, is that when you read Proverbs 11:4, it says that riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness deliver from death. And so, at the time of death, we have not seen anyone's money being able to bring them back. Again, I say that to just echo that financial riches is not all there is. Jesus talked about riches. Jesus talked about wealth. Jesus talks about the fact in the Gospels that he wants us to prosper.
I also think one of the things too, when you spoke about fear that we have, and I think it's also a fear. It's like, I feel like there is this, I don't know why, but there is this mindset that we want to protect God. And we want to protect how mighty he is. We want to protect his power. We want to protect his love. We want to. And so when you spoke about the fear, that's where my mind went to, like, we are afraid to do something to make God seem a certain way that he's not. But he doesn't need us to do anything to prove who he is. So part of the fear could be for ourselves. We are probably afraid that once we get riches, we will become powerful. And some people have preached against wealth or riches, as you say. And so some of the fear is, if I attain all these things, or if I get all these things, what would the people outside looking in think about the God I serve? So it's like we're trying to protect God and also trying to protect ourselves, which none of that is needed, because God doesn't need you to protect him or defend him. At the same time, you don't need to protect yourself when it comes to things that biblically stated. You know, he came that you may have life in abundance. What is, when we speak about abundance, it's excess of something. So why must we settle for below that excess and say that that is in God's will?
Well, Sister Candace, you are 100% correct. But I think that it is a little deeper than that. Yes, it's right that people are trying to protect something about God or what they see about God. But I think that the imbalances that has existed in the body of Christ, especially in the people who profess that they are representing God, say our preachers, our leaders, and things of that nature. I think the imbalances in what we do with wealth and the kinds of things that we portray. I think last week I mentioned the channels through which we can attain wealth, right? And I talked about the fact that one of the main channels of wealth is our God-given ability. So if wealth was a bad thing, God will not give us the ability to be able to attain it. But like with many things that comes to us as human beings, we abuse it.
So the problem is you. The problem is us.
Right. The problem has always been with us. The problem has never been God. But
or what he has put out, you know.
Yes. But that is how it will be interpreted, because we are the ones going around telling people that we represent God. And so if we represent God, then what we are doing is what is revealing God to others. And let me chip this in here. One of the main reasons why that, in my humble opinion, I think Jesus came, in addition to saving us from our sins, is to correct the misrepresentation of God that had gone through generation after generation after generation of prophets and priests. And so Jesus came to correct all those things. And that is why he said that if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. And so that statement tells us that everything that we see, even in the prophets, as mighty as they were, that is inconsistent with how Jesus was. We have the liberty as children of God to delete it from our idea of God.
But that's the perfect thing, to delete it, right?
Correct.
But this is a situation where we live in a world where what we represent or what we put out there is how people take God to be. And I understand that, you know, we are representatives of God. But when someone is not being a good representative of a company, they take them out. Or you can look at that person and say, oh, they're not really representing me right, or they're not representing the company right. But we are in a generation where some people are not seeking God for themselves, so they don't know God.
Exactly.
To see what is the misrepresentation. And so what you put out is taken as that's who he is.
Exactly.
Right?
And you hit the nail right on the head there. Go ahead.
I remember I did this video and I was like, if I treat you wrong, if I hate you, forgive me and hate me, but don't despise my God. He has not done nothing wrong. It's me.
Powerful.
I'm the one that misrepresented him. If I show hatred towards you, if I mistreat you, if I do anything outside of what you think the God that we are serving supposed to be, it's me. Hate me. Don't hate God. But it's the other way around now, you know, and it's good we are talking about misconceptions. So we need to correct this. And the most funniest thing is unbelievers, right, somehow know how Christians should act.
Of course.
So it's interesting, something they never known, right? Even atheists, you know, like you can literally hear someone just quote, and how can this guy be the... So you know what they're supposed to represent, right? So it's the person. I just want to put that out here. It's the person. It's not God.
Yes.
But anyway,
yes.
That's just bad.
No, you are right. And it's actually funny. But I think one of the reasons why is because there is this yearning that God put in man. I think when we talked about check your appetite, we talked about that. And so there is a nature in man that yearns for the nature of God. And right. So until man erodes their mind to the point where the mind rejects anything about God, they actually do have an idea of what God or godlikeness should be. And that is where we get our morals. And so it's natural for us to say it's bad to kill someone or to steal or to destroy someone's life or whatever because of that appetite, that nature that God put in us. I'll refer our audience to check your appetite because I think we talked a lot about that there. But Sister Candace, there are a few more misconceptions that I want to talk about, and then we can probably go ahead and define what this wealthy place is, and then we will be able to go there. And that is one of the greatest things that I think we usually overlook is that whether you are poor or rich, the essence of that state is in one word, and that word is opportunity. The poor has opportunity to become rich, has opportunity to build more faith in God. And so when you read through the Bible talks a lot about the consequences of mistreating the poor, not because the Bible is endorsing poverty, and that is where sometimes I think we are mistaken. When the Bible talks about not mistreating the poor or whoever closes his ear, I think that is Proverbs 21, that whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. That whoever lends to the poor lends to the Lord. And so we take it as the Bible endorsing poverty. But I don't think so. The Bible, I believe, when he talks about all these things as like a safeguard for the poor, is to help the poor realize the opportunity for them to place their faith in God, even though the things that they want or the things that they need are not being met. And so being poor and being rich both give us opportunity. Like I said, the poor has the opportunity to become rich, to build greater trust in God, because honestly, it's much more easier to have faith in poverty than when everything is going right. You may not believe it, but ask anyone who has worked in any level of wealth or riches, and they will tell you. It's easier for you to believe God will provide your daily bread when you don't have a means for it, than for you to believe God will provide your daily bread when you know you have the ability to provide it for yourself.
I mean, there is no daily bread.
I know. There is tea and bread on your table. And so they don't. You don't need faith for that, right? And the flip side is that the rich has the opportunity to be a blessing to the poor. And so really, the main thing there is an opportunity, and that is what God sees in us. The opportunity that we have as people, whether we are rich or poor. And so, for my Christian brothers out there, you will remember the story when the Bible talks about Jesus saying to the people that I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was in jail and you did not visit me. I was hungry and you did not give me food to eat. All he is saying there is that they had opportunity. Whether you were rich or poor did not matter. It's the opportunity you have that matters. And so whatever stage you are in, God expects for us to be able to look at the opportunity we have and maximize it. And so when we talk about the purpose of wealth, it will be a good place for the rich to know the opportunities they have and why they are rich. But that was the other thing that I wanted to correct. And the final thing, Sister Candace, that I want to bring up before we even define this wealthy place that we are talking about today is that once someone has mastered the principles and the laws that they need to engage to bring wealth, stealing from them becomes futile. Taking their substance becomes futile because they know how to replenish it. And so if it is a ministry, talking about them destroying their reputation to destroy that ministry is futile. They will rebuild it. If it's a company, they will rebuild it. And so rather than spend your time, energy, and effort trying to destroy what they have built, it will be better. It will save your time and be more profitable to you and I that we learn from them the principles they engaged to build whatever they have built. You can burn all the Teslas you want. It's not going to make Elon Musk poor. It's as simple as that. He has mastered, whether through godly means or ungodly means. That's not what we are talking about. But the principles that should bring wealth, this guy has mastered, whether you like him or not. And so whatever you do to try to discredit him, to take away what he has built or the things he possesses, is futile.
It's futile.
And Mr. Candace, I want our audience to know I'm not trying to be political here because I know Elon Musk has become very politically polarized lately, that you mention his name and it becomes a big thing. But you can pick any of the people working in wealth in our lives today. Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos. I mean, some of these people have gone through divorces. Their assets were split halfway. And then within a year or two, they made more money than they had before they got the divorce. And so once a person has mastered these principles, going after the things that they have made is of no use.
Right. I was even going to say when you said when you steal from them is futile, because I was thinking to myself, no matter what, they know something you don't know. You know, you take something from them, but you don't know how they got it. So they know something you don't know, and they will always be able to rise above what you think you're taking from them.
Correct.
And so I want to get into, I was going to ask, where is this place, right? But I want us to define it first, what it is, and then we'll get to where it is, if that's possible. What is a wealthy place? You know, we've spoken a lot around it, but I want us to get into, so that viewers or listeners can really understand everything that we've said and what is really, really boiling down to. What is this wealthy place?
Yes, thank you, Sister Candace. A wealthy place is truly the place or circumstances or process that makes being able to attain wealth possible. I say that to say that it is not in all places or in all things that we do that we can attain wealth. Someone might think that because we are going to share these principles of wealth and all that, they can engage them any way, anyhow, and they will still yield wealth. No, the process of engaging these principles, the avenues, the places to engage them is very important. And the timing is also crucial. So when we talk about a wealthy place, that really is what the definition is.
Wow, that's very powerful, because, you know, this whole time in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, a wealthy place is when you have landed into wealth. Right. But here you are with the definition, making us understand that it's a process.
Correct.
Right? A process whereby one gets into it that makes wealth possible to attain.
Correct.
Which is very powerful. So it's not really a settled place, a place where it's like, I have landed into wealth. Here is, I'm like in a place where this is wealth, everything is wealth, wealth, wealth. But it's more of a state. It could be a state of mind, but a state where one can really can, you know, like with what we were talking about before, one can see areas in your life where they lack and really pursue after those things to be wealthy in those places. So that's where a place of wealth is. So that's very powerful. But where is this place, if we want to go into that? Where is this place?
Powerful question, Sister Candice. Powerful. And before I even talk about where this place is, I want to go back to what we just talked about in the definition of a wealthy place. Because in the definition, I want our audience to understand that it's not everything you do that will land you into wealth. That is very, very important. Because if you miss that, you can expand yourself in so many ways and still not end in wealth. And you will think that these principles don't work. Meanwhile, they work. All right. Yeah. So where is a wealthy place? Second is, let's take our audience on an origin journey. Let's find the origin of man. According to our Bible, man was created by God. But when man was created, there was a specific thing that God said in creating man. Before any man or woman was created, the God had said, "Let us make man in our image." So that was one. And two, let them have dominion over certain things. And so that should right away help us know that the wealthy place is not in heaven, because our dominion is not over heaven. He gave mankind dominion over the earth, the birds of the air, the animals of the forest, the fish of the sea. So all things under heaven, he gave to the control of man. And so where is this wealthy place? This wealthy place dwells in the kingdom of God being established or manifested in the earth. If we don't walk or manifest God's kingdom, we cannot walk in wealth, holistic wealth. And so now you see why it is possible to walk in holistic wealth in all its dimensions. Because the earth is the only place where we can manifest these. You cannot manifest riches in heaven. You cannot manifest good health in heaven. You cannot manifest a good marriage in heaven. This is your wealthy place. Earth is your wealthy place. And the way you conquer this wealthy place is by manifesting your God-given mandate, which is the kingdom of God in you. And that is why last week, when I talked briefly about the modules of wealth, I talked about the fact that our God-given ability, what we were put here to do,
is very important.
It's very, very important in our ability to walk in wealth. And then your assignment and the anointing or the grace of God upon you. Because you need all three of these to manifest the kingdom of God. And yes, manifesting the kingdom of God to you might not be standing in a pulpit to preach, but building global enterprises. Right, to you might be becoming a political leader who effects godly change. To you might be becoming a teacher who raises godly students. Whatever your God-given assignment is, you need grace and you need to discover that ability to do it. And so you can be doing certain things and not realizing that your God-given assignment is to be a politician. The fact that you don't know that will cause you not to walk in wealth because you are mishandling one of the key channels through which you can become wealthy.
Wow, wow, wow. This is very powerful and it's good. It's good this is where it is because I'm thinking to myself, okay, I mean, where are we going to go with this, right? It could go anywhere that I cannot reach. But now, we know that this is a place we can reach, right?
Yes.
Myself and listeners out there. So, knowing your purpose, your assignment, and the anointing of God upon your life this is where the place is.
Yes.
This is a place where a man or a woman can stand in to be able to attain this wealth.
Wealth,
right?
Yes.
Or the holisticness of wealth.
Correct. Dear audience, we hate to do this to you, but we are running out of time. And so we will end our discussion here. And God willing, next week we will pick up right from this very spot. No introductions or anything. We will just pick up right from here on a wealthy place and also talk about the channels of wealth, so that we will be able to do justice to this topic. But as you can see, there are so much misconceptions that needs to be corrected for our beliefs and our mindset to be in the right place as we find or search for this wealthy place in order to become wealthy. So we will pick up next week right from this exact spot. And then we will be able to conclude for you. God bless you. We will see you same time next week. Don't forget to share our platform with your loved ones. Don't forget to follow us on your social media handles, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all under Hour of Healing with Joe Debra. And you'll be able to see the videos or hear the audio podcast at your convenience. God bless you. See you next week. Bye-bye.